Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. And this program is about consciousness, the evolution of humanity, and how that really is about us as a human race and what our evolution's about. And of course, that has a lot to do with our relationship to the cosmos and whoever else is out there. And there are plenty of things out there for sure. And that's why I'm talking tonight to someone I met last year at Contact in the Desert, Laurie McDonald. Hi, Laurie. Thanks for being here today. And
hello, Alan. Thank you very much for having me.
I mean, Laurie, you're going to be at Contact this year. And for those who don't know, Contact in the Desert is a four-day festival of people coming together who are experiencers, who are researchers, who are interested in the topic of the idea of extraterrestrials, UFOs, whatever you want to call that. And, you know, there's been so much in the media lately. Have you seen what's going on?
Absolutely. Yes, we see that they're using it to help push an election through.
They might be, but I think that's not such a bad thing because at least people are exposed to I hear people who weren't interested in this stuff at all say, wow, did you see that in the New York Times? And it's like, yeah. So
that's true. I mean, they're definitely going to shine a light on it by doing that. We just have to be really careful that any information regarding the phenomena doesn't get control factored by a government agency. Then the information would be greatly diminished as it comes to us.
Right. No, that's a really, really good point. Actually, on this Thursday, May 19th, I'm going to be talking to Richard Dolan and Grant Cameron, really two of the best researchers on media history, government cover-up in the field. And that'll be, you can go to my website, newrealities.com, to hear information about that webinar. But I think what we should talk tonight about is your expertise in the field of contact, abduction. I'm really impressed with how much work you've done in that area. And of course, I think I'm a contactee or abductee, really, more than a contactee. And I've been trying to figure out, because for me, I'm really into this stuff. And for me, I'm still not so conscious of what happened to me. It's still in a vague zone. It's still in the dream state type of thing. And one of your presentations, you made a really good comment about why it seems so dreamlike. Can you talk about that? Because I think that's really smart.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. You know, because I regress people as a clinical hypnotherapist, I like to bring them down to the alpha and theta brain waves. This simulates a deep relaxation, which is very similar to the sleep state. So during an extraterrestrial abduction, I believe that the abductor races simulate that same frequency, making the person become compliant and just go along with the scenario as opposed to objecting or questioning. They just think, oh, it's a dream and it's kind of not real, and you just sort of flow with it. So therein lies the confusion for people upon awakening.
You know, that makes so much sense because, well, I was, one of my experiences, I was dreaming, and I'll never forget that. I was woken up in the middle of the night by this feeling on the inside of my thigh, like a tickling, like it felt like a little creature. And then I was given this little thing to hold in my hand, this little being, and I said, this is weird. I was not lucid in the way that I'm talking to you now, but yet I never forgot that. So
it's important when you have experienced anomalous or paranormal or extraterrestrial activity, you don't forget. It stays with you throughout your life, and it comes up as questions, and we ponder, what does this mean? But we have to be careful there too, Alan. Sometimes it can just mean to our own consciousness that non-human beings exist. And when we can accept that reality, encompass it into our core belief system, and become very psychologically adjusted and balanced with it, then we can begin to expand the mind and then eventually experience the expanded consciousness, which is what I personally believe the entire phenomena is about. So it's not really so much, was it a gray, was it a negative experience, or was it a Nordic, was it a beautiful experience? I think that what's important is that it was an experience that challenged your reality, and your mind doesn't know what to do with it because it's come to the end of the road. There's no information in the subconscious to draw from. So a new paradigm must be created. Reality has to be shattered and rebuilt. And then we can begin the expansion of consciousness.
Right. I really like what you said there. There's no information in the subconscious mind in which we can cognize the reality that we've encountered, you know. And it's all about cognition and recognition. And we can't recognize something we haven't cognized, you know.
Exactly. It makes it very difficult. And one of the examples for non-experiencers, to make it a little bit easier for them to understand, it might have been something like it was for the Mayans when the Europeans came, and here they see these European white-skinned people coming on large ships, ships they've never seen before, people that are twice their height, speaking a different language. They'd never experienced anything like that before. It was completely alien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it is something like that. I think it's actually even, did you ever see that Harvard experiment, that cognition with the gorilla walks across the floor with these people playing basketball? Did you ever see that? It's on YouTube. It's great. I do this in lectures that I give. I tell people to count the number of passes that these people in the basketball game are playing. And then these people are counting, and there's a guy in a gorilla suit that walks in the middle of the playing field and then pounds its chest and walks on. I say, how many people have seen the gorilla? And nobody sees it because they're counting these passes of the basketball. And I think that's really, we've been taught not to recognize certain aspects of our reality, and we miss a huge field that exists.
I believe that, because we interpret our environment through our senses, through taste and touch and sight and sound and so forth, we have additional senses to that where we need to be able to feel into both subtle and gross energies in our immediate environment so that we can become aware of the energy shifts we can recognize at the approach of other entities or other anomalous behavior. And these are things that can be learned. And in fact, I see among the experiencers an increased ability for intuition and psychism and a true desire and willingness for self-development once they've healed, of course, from the awe and shock and sometimes fear of the initial experiences. There's a healing process. I think we have to go past the experience and then begin to heal both the mind and the body from the shock of the experience.
And then it's so shocking. Yes, I agree. No, go ahead.
There's a transition period of growth, and we can keep moving forward with it instead of getting, you know, on the side of, well, they're good aliens or they're bad aliens. No. They're aliens, and I think that the best way to approach the phenomena is not by calling it an extraterrestrial experience, but by calling it a human experience that empowers us to take the information and begin to build from it.
Right. I totally agree. I don't think we're even sophisticated enough to know if it's good or bad. And, I mean, of course, there is trauma involved. I think I've been traumatized. I think a lot of people with especially abductions and taking genetic samples, it's traumatic, you know? I mean, John Mack talked about four levels of trauma. There's a trauma of just meeting the being. There's trauma of being taken aboard a craft. There's a trauma of being put on an operating table. And then the last trauma is coming back here and trying to tell other people who don't want to listen to that, you know?
Absolutely. They're re-victimized, so to speak. And there is, you know, quite a bit of trauma. And if for me personally, I'm a lifelong experiencer. and only found out after I was 50 years old that my mother was abducted for the majority of the 9 months, periodically throughout those 9 months that she carried me. She did give me up for adoption because the experience terrified her so much that the thought of going forward and keeping the baby was just too much for her to take. And when she did tell people outside, she definitely was re-traumatized again. They even told her that if she didn't stop talking about extraterrestrial abduction, that they would put her into the psych ward. This scared her so much, Alan, that she stopped talking and she kept her story secret for 50 years, over 50 years. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago that she saw me on a TV show and she called me up from Canada and said, you know, it's time I tell you the story of your birth, what happened during the pregnancy, and it might be very relevant because I see now what you do for a living. And she had no idea.
Well, you must have been shocked though, right? When she told you that story.
And I was still shocked after decades in the phenomena and a lifelong experiencer. I was still shocked and still had some of the same questions that we see experiencers have. And I was quite curious though as to exactly what she was implying. Because throughout her abduction, when she would resist or ask questions, they would tell her that they weren't interested in her, that they were really just interested in the baby, and that she would be okay. Well, not really the words that comfort a pregnant woman during an abduction phenomena. And it traumatized her even further. And it was her last abduction actually happened on the day that I was born. Right. And she was taken that morning and it was subjected to her the final testing. And it was very similar to all of the abduction phenomena that you hear as far as genetic harvesting and tissue removal and so on and so forth.
Well, yeah, I want to get into that a little bit because obviously, I mean, it seems like if you listen to that story, then maybe you were geared to do what you're doing as a kind of bridge to a new consciousness because of this. I mean, possibly that was, I mean, well, don't you think?
It's almost ironic that I run the Sacramento Alien Abduction and Contactee Support Group, that I've created a forum and provide a space for people to express their story. I run this support group free of charge. I take 20 to 25 people at a time. And I guess maybe every single woman that came was my mother. I just didn't know it.
But so, is it ironic or was it part, or are you, I'm not saying your program, but are you part of the plan on their part of integration because they were so interested in you?
Well, I'm not quite sure. I've been a meditator now for about 35 years. And about 20 years ago, after a dream, I ended up driving to a temple. And I began to study further meditation. And I learned more about other worlds, extraterrestrials, and consciousness from the master and the Buddhist monks than I'd learned from the hundreds, thousands of eyewitness firsthand stories. They were able to teach me much more than one-on-one experiencers can. So it was very interesting. And yeah, so there was a series of synchronicities that have happened to me, but I believe that I will make the best out of whatever the experiences are. I like to find the enlightened view and move to the higher way of thinking so that to whatever the experience is, that I use it to serve my highest purpose, becoming more altruistic.
Well, you are, it seems like you are serving a higher purpose, obviously, by helping people integrate their experience. And the other thing I wanted to talk to you about in one of your lectures, it sort of seemed like there were two sides to the aliens. There's the ones that are good, evolving us, and then there's the ones, I mean, maybe they're evolving us, because if they're taking your mother's DNA and they're conditioning it to create somebody like you who's more evolved, more open-minded, more more in touch, then there's some kind of DNA manipulation. That's just, I don't know. And then there's something else you said, though, that they are not evolved. I mean, you were sort of, I wasn't sure, you were saying sort of two things. There were aliens that were not helping us and those that are.
Right. There are some that help themselves.
Right.
That are more self-serving. And so they don't care about our conscious evolution as a collective species or even on an individual basis. They are agenda oriented. It doesn't necessarily make them negative. It can, however, make them appear frightening. And I have had my own eye-to-eye, face-to-face extraterrestrial experience with the Greys. And although very frightening, it didn't start out that way. I was quite calm and ready to allow the situation to unfold, only because I had already been immersed in the subject and studied it. And so I felt that I could handle the situation.
Where were you? Can you tell me the situation that you were found yourself in for that?
Yes, I was in actually Sacramento, and I was about 29 years old. And I had done a lot of work, emotional clearing work. I'd done a lot of inner child work. I was already a clinical hypnotherapist. I was already a seeker for sure. And I had been doing some UFO investigations. I'd set up some cameras around the outskirts of Sacramento. I had seen something in the sky. I'd reported it to the Air Force and even called NORAD, and both kind of shut me down. But what I saw certainly wasn't anything that I was able to identify. So I continued to investigate. And then one night after coming home, walked into my bedroom, sat down on the edge of my bed, and it was just instantaneous, like a huge white burst of light, and just two extraterrestrials that would look like the Greys. And I know I laid back, and I tried to be very cool, and I realized that I was starting to experience pain. And I tried telling them that they were hurting me, and they didn't seem to care. But then to the right of me...
Were you experiencing pain? Were they doing something to you?
It did feel like they were doing something to my lower left abdomen.
Okay.
And so beside me, two etheric entities, I can only say they looked like energy because I could just see the silhouette, and it was in the colors of like the softest, most beautiful violet. And they told me two words after they got my full attention. So I was right on beta brainwave, full on conscious. They said, "Lori, focus and control." I did focus both my mind, controlled my emotional energy. When I looked back at the entities, I could see the situation far more clearer. And I began to protest, saying no. At that moment, another flash of light, a taller gray approached me with what looked like a chopstick in his hand, seemed to be a needle, and this is when I could no longer focus or control anything and totally became fear-based and frightened. And I kicked a couple of times, and I tried really hard fighting for my life. And afterwards, when I became more, I blacked out. When I woke up again, I was back in my bedroom in severe pain and had suffered ruptured abdominal muscles and were herniated and needed to have surgery, where I have a mesh implant holding that in place for me now.
From that experience, so
from kicking them,
it proves that it was real for you, right? Okay. That you have that hernia, that you have that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was more than real for me, absolutely.
And you never had that again? They've never come to you again?
No, I became empowered rather quickly after that, and understood my desire and will, and will no longer allow that.
But you were not in an altered state when you met them. You were in a very lucid, clear-minded state, or was it still?
I felt that fuzzy little bit of time distortion initially.
Yeah.
And it was only upon the other entities, the more etheric, beautiful ones, that made me focus. They told me, focus and control. I will never forget for as long as I live. And, you know, those words are kind of loaded also, both focus and control. And so I've definitely thought about that. But I do know the end result was that it allowed me to be lucid and experience the situation from a conscious state, from my analytical mind, so that I could understand what was happening.
So do you think there's sort of a battle of ETs, or there's these, I mean, sides? What do you think is going on in the ET side of things?
You know, there are a lots of extraterrestrial hypotheses, some regarding the hybridization program for the integration of said hybrids onto the planet. Some already say they're here. When we look at Dr. David Jacobs' work, we see that he's very much on the hybridization agenda. And that does appear that that is an agenda. But, and I appreciate his work and I respect it, and those experiences do happen. I would just like it to evolve a little bit further so that we can complete the scenario. I mean, we're just getting fear-based trapped, and if we can work with the experiencer through healing the mind and the body after the experience, and then through some self-development, they are in a more empowered position and can move past the trauma a lot easier, and then moving on to bigger and better things where they're no longer affected. I think that on some level, we have to be able to resonate with their particular energy to begin with. Very much like how the Gnostics believed with the Archon entity that was more parasitic, that it could attach to us and amplify negativity, not make us negative, but amplify any that was there. I think that they're capable of doing something similar to that.
But don't you think you're a hybrid of sorts? I mean, no, I'm serious, because they were obviously working with your mother and manipulating some, I mean, it seems to me, I'm just guessing, but it seemed like that. Should we evolve your consciousness?
Perhaps that's accurate. I don't know for sure, unless there's some type of test one could take. I do know that at this moment, I am a human, and whether there's alien DNA in me or not, and I believe we all have a little bit anyway, it can't change my emotional perspective of how I view the consciousness of our planet and myself.
Right. No, because I think I think my mother probably had some stuff. I mean, I feel a little part something else. I'm the only one that's blonde in the family, you know, and I feel different. I definitely don't feel, I mean, I like being here. It's a very, very nice planet, but, you know, I don't feel like I quite fit into how things happen with most people. I just feel...
I understand that. Yeah, and I hear that a lot, actually, you know.
And I think that is because we are genetically a little different.
That could very well be true. I mean, perhaps there is some hybrids that are very empathetic and do have the emotional intelligence to help through the transition period. I personally believe we are at a monumental time in history, that we're taking this step forward in understanding our cosmic cousins, so to speak, and that the experiencers who are already dealing with this phenomena will be the pioneers of the newer world. Scientists tell us that the third dimension, as we know it, is falling away, that we're moving into the higher fourth, and that we need to learn how to think differently. We need to learn how to behave appropriately, because our thoughts have power and we will have faster manifestation as we move into the fourth and fifth dimension. Time is very slow in the third dimension, and that's wonderful. That's on purpose. Gives us the opportunity to self-correct, to mend the errors of our ways and get back on track. Time is slow, deliberately, painstakingly slow. I mean, sometimes it's very hard, but it's slow on purpose so that we can self-correct. And we have the power to do that. We do have it. We just need to find the strength to do it as a whole. And I believe that we will.
No, I think we not only will, but we are. We are doing, I think this year at Contact in the Desert, there'll be 4,000 people there. And no, it's a movement. I just hosted Steve Bassett in New York a couple of weeks ago, and then the New York Times ran that story. And, you know, it's a really complex subject. It's not the fact like, well, guess what, there are UFOs. It's, well, you know how deep and kind of intricate the whole thing is. It's a fascinating subject.
It really is, and it's multi-layered for sure on its effects and its effects on both humanity and on our consciousness. So it's best to view it, in my opinion, sort of as a catalyst. I mean, certainly the phenomena is beyond interesting. And there's beautiful extraterrestrials out there. I have been quite privileged, really, to have the experiences that I have. I feel quite confident when I think of the fourth and fifth dimension because I've seen it. I've been able to glimpse. And I understand that, at least to me, our consciousness resides both inside and outside of us and has the ability to transcend both space and time. And when we are out of the body in space that way, it does feel, for me, like there are light years between just your eyes, and you can really get an amazing amount of information. And at that moment, I did see a golden planet of peace. It was felt like the information I was receiving was like the fifth dimension. And there too was a lower and a middle and a higher, where people became more and more illuminated, brighter and brighter. And some in the higher almost appeared to me as if they were robed only to dim the light because it was so hard for my mind to process. But in the fifth dimension, I was seeing that people had instant manifestations of their thoughts. And right now, people aren't capable of doing that because we still feel hatred and anger and think with not realizing how strong and powerful our thoughts have, not to mention they are measurable in ergs and they can become collective in a consciousness of themselves where other people draw on them. We have to be very careful of our thoughts and words, because if we had instant manifestation now, people would be hurt.
No, I agree. And that's why there is the 3D density, because time does move slow like that. But I wanted to ask you some other sort of technical question. I mean, Whitley Strieber, did you read his last book, Supernatural? And
not yet. I've been writing my own, and I hardly ever get the opportunity to read all of the people's books I want to.
Well, I wrote a review. I'll send it to you. But he says that the abduction experience, and in my own case, they seem to have stopped, I mean, at least for me, in the 80s, and some people say in the 90s, and they just don't seem to be happening as much, at least the abduction. Have you found that to be true?
Yes, but there are other things taking its place. Instead of people saying they've been abducted, people are saying they have had off-planet experiences. Or people will say that they're receiving, you know, telepathic communication from extraterrestrials and downloads. And they are. And important that when people get information like this, that we create a protocol so that we can determine as best as we can that the information they are receiving is in fact coming from an extraterrestrial, and it's not, they're not being victimized.
What kind of protocol would you develop for that?
Well, we need to be able to determine if the voices we are hearing are psychotronic or radioonic. We need to rule out audio hallucinations, schizophrenia, or any other mental illness that could create that type of an effect in the mind. So
but how could you do that? How do you, what kind of set of rules can you create to make?
Well, there are rules to determine whether or not a person is mentally ill.
Right.
So once that's removed, the radiohonics is a little bit more difficult, but there are people that say that they can be detected by a certain vibration you feel in your skull.
Oh, that's interesting.
An extraterrestrial telepathic communication doesn't leave an energetic residual effect on the body. Psychotronics leaves, I want to say, like an energy shadow.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. The other thing is that in the free study, you know Ray Hernandez, right? You're on the board, aren't you, of that?
I am a friend of Freeze, and I recall last year I got a lovely email from Ray asking me if I would like to be a consultant to their research committee. Yeah, he's amazing.
Well, I interviewed him a few weeks ago, and in his study, he said that even though some people have claimed to be abductees and have had, I think this is what he said, a negative experience or a not pleasant experience, now they actually have reevaluated that as, at the time it may have been negative, but at this stage of their contemplation or something, it's not so negative. I mean, you know what I'm saying? In the reevaluation, they don't consider it.
We're trying to do that with the abductees. We're trying to eliminate the post-abduction stress disorder that they suffer and allow them to heal so that, one, it's less traumatic, and two, they can actually see some positive effects from it, such as there are non-human beings that exist, so the universe is bigger than we think, that our consciousness and our mind can grow and expand. So, in fact, we are evolving, and experiencers know it. We feel it. And so this is very important that we move them out of that negative fear-based arena and allow them to view it from a more enlightened perspective.
But it does seem like there's less abductions in general, like you're saying, and like Whitley and other people.
The typical gray abduction, yes, when I work with people, and I still do, you know, 4 or 5 regressions a week, they're going over abductions that happened earlier in their life.
Right.
Now, when they have experiences, the experiences are different, for sure.
I find that. Well, I haven't had an experience in a long time. Actually, I last time I did have an experience, I kept putting my finger on my third eye, as if I had more control over my mind than they were. They weren't able to control me. So I think that may have been the last time I actually was.
And that's always everybody's last time. The minute they exert their personal power and begin to become equal, not feeling inferior or superior to the being, neutral.
Right. But I wonder if there's a way to prepare people instead of going to fear. Most people have no idea about these things, you know. I mean, or anyone. You're home at night, your doors are locked, there's no way anyone can get in, and boom, there's someone standing in your bedroom touching your feet or something. It is so traumatic. I mean,
and that's why there has to be a universal laws for human rights. I mean, maybe they need to be educated, because you don't come like a thief in the night and expect to not be treated like a thief in the night.
Right. And so, but is there a way, I mean, yes, for their side, but on our side, what would you suggest as a way of preparing ourselves for encounter? Or, you know, even the mainstream people who aren't even open to this kind of stuff.
Well, I think that all people should be prepared for the veil to be slightly lifted. Now, this doesn't mean that some large cosmic curtain is going to be opened up. It just means that as we're evolving, we're going to be able to see things a little bit more clear, and that we can prepare ourselves once we begin the self-education. And
Go through the steps.
The mind is the most important thing here. what we believe we can manifest. Humans have the unique ability to convert, you know, particle and wave energy through the pineal gland and manifest. We can do that. So I'm saying collectively, if we're going to prepare ourselves for some type of contact, we need to do it from the heart. We need to be well-grounded and loving, and we need to have self-love, self-acceptance, so that when we view another race, we can look at them without, from a perspective of non-judgment. Right now, humanity is going to perhaps look at their technology and become fearful. And we're kind of set up like that too. You know, when UFOs are considered, you know, the information of the NSA, you know, that makes it a threat because that's the national security. So they're already making people think that it's something to fear. So we have to really move beyond the propaganda. We have to be heart-centered. And I am an advocate of meditation because meditation increases the gamma rays of the brain and allows us to view things from our highest self. More from a more enlightened view. So we need to follow a protocol, and that protocol, again, begins with us. We have to be balanced, self-accepting, self-loving, so that we won't be able to loathe or hate another being. So we need to grow up a little bit and get our emotional intelligence in check, and then we can move forward. I believe that the people who have experiences are a little bit more enlightened. I believe that they possess the ability for great compassion and empathy, and that each and every one of them has an ability to make our planet a little bit better. And when we connect through the heart and through our minds, we can create the world that we want to live in. And people need to understand that we have the power to do this.
Well, that is beautifully said, and I think it's true. I think the meditation is a key because it creates a lucidity of our mind. So we have more of a range of experience and an inner sensation. We become more familiar with the inner landscapes as well. So,
right. And you can experience, you know, moving in and out of the body. People who meditate for a very long time have no problem walking out of their body. So you see, they already understand that they are eternal beings. Mm-hmm. And when the more people meditate, the more they understand exactly what it means to be a human. You know, just simply the definition of human is a light embodied entity. You know, hue is still used, and man is still for manifestation. Hue is for the measurement of light or saturation of light, even.
But I mean, yes, and we can prepare ourselves. But even in your experience, I remember you said there was a deadpan quality to, because they don't have, at least some of the beings, these capacity for facial expression, and that. We're so used to reading each other, mimicking with our mirror neurons each other's emotion. When you meet something that doesn't have anything like what we're used to, we don't know what to do with it. And that alone is traumatic.
Yes, it can be. But now this is where we need to be able to sense both the subtle and the gross energies from all entities. And since they generally communicate telepathically, and that is through the form of image. You know, the subconscious mind doesn't speak German or French or English or any other language. It speaks only in pictures. So you will get the idea of what they want. You will get the idea, and you'll be able to sense, you know, if it's an emotionally charged idea or not.
But their expressions are not emotionally charged.
Well, their eyes don't have, you know, whites. and that'll throw you right there, okay? I mean, so yeah, there's certain things we have to get beyond, you know, that large black lens of what appears to be the eye. Very frightening for some people, those physical characteristics. or if you happen to run into a reptoid. But Alan, that's why I've spent some time trying to do some sort of psychological profiling of extraterrestrials so that we can understand the behavior of, say, a mantis, a tall gray versus a short gray or a blue or a reptilian or a Nordic or whatever, so that we understand if their collective consciousness or how they think and what empowers or disempowers them. For instance, the mantis, they're very collective consciousness. They're very interconnected. And so what frightens them beyond belief is not being connected, being separate or having a separate identity like we experience. That's very frightening to them, because to them that means a loneliness and disconnect and sorrow. And right. So, you know, once we begin to figure them out a little bit, I can only get the information from experiencers, but once we can compile as much as we can, we just have a little bit more insight.
Have you met Simon Parks? He seems to, he talks about being a representative. What do you think of that?
Well, I know Simon Parks' story quite well. I believe that he has...
I don't know it that well.
He has an elected position, something like a mayor in a small abbey in London. He claims right. that his real mother is a mantis extraterrestrial. He called his Earth mother Dad, because he associated Mum to this mantis being whom he went with often. His mother had a clerical job for the Defense Department that oversaw a UFO phenomena. And once a week, somebody would come to the house, bring her some information that she transcribed. It was left out in the open for Simon to read, and he read all about the extraterrestrial interference with the United Kingdom at the time. So his story is very interesting, claims to have a child with them as well. And I see that beyond Simon Parks, there are other people that I've worked with myself who are very integrated in their extraterrestrial experience. They go off planet, they're taken on ships, they have reports that they need to file, they actually report back on humans, and which I don't really know how I feel about that. And so, I mean, we see a very strong integration of their extraterrestrial life. So they live 1 foot here, and then at nighttime, they're on a ship.
But it's all really interesting, especially with the media heating up. I mean, do you see a time, maybe in the next couple of years, 5 years, 10 years, where this is all out in the open and we don't have to be living that fear of ridicule or whatever?
Well, it is coming out into the open when we see people like Ron Hellyer, the former defense minister of Canada during the Cold War. He says that, yes, there's definitely some extraterrestrial presence on the planet. And Nick Pope said the same thing. And they seem to imply a pressure from the United States government to keep the information quiet. There's been the meeting at the United Nations where 13 countries did come forward with their information on UFOs through their air forces. Some of those countries elected to work with ufologists. These are generally countries in South America, and I believe Germany might have been one of them as well. So there are other places on the planet, other countries that are a little bit more forthright with the information. And will it happen here? I hope so, but I hope that it comes from the people and that it's not like that control factor through the government, because then we risk manipulation of the information or technology, and anything that comes, I'm hoping, should be shared freely.
Right, and then, of course, it's a matter of which ET races are we going to welcome or not welcome? I mean, and how evolved we are going to be? Are we going to go into fear and war and try to shoot these things down? I mean, we're so primitive that I think they are coming and going because we're a loose cannon, really, literally.
When we're in groups, okay, we're bad and, you know, very easily manipulated, and there's that group mentality, and, you know, if one person's booing, then they all start booing. They don't even know what they're doing. But one-on-one, Alan, I believe that people are naturally good. I believe that they naturally share and help their neighbor, and that this is an intrinsic way of humanity, and that that is what's been manipulated out of us. That's what has been the disconnect, because it takes us further from our heart energy. And we have to balance that heart energy right now. And a lot of people aren't doing that. They're very much in the head thinking, what can I get? What do I need to do to get a nicer car, bigger house, to look more successful, or do this or that? All of those things are external. And they're not going to help you evolve or understand. They're only going to get you, you know, in debt, probably.
But, you know, it's interesting the position you're in. Your work is evolving, and you're evolving, and the whole field is in flux, and, of course, the planet itself. So how would you sum up what your work is like at this point?
Well, I see my role as a group facilitator for experiencers and as a regression hypnotherapist, as one who helps people through that transition period so that they can integrate the experience, so that they can get to that cosmic consciousness that we all will eventually get to. My role is to help ease the pain as they move from one thought into a new way of thinking.
And are you feeling a lot more people are coming forward at this point?
A lot more people are coming forward, and with less thought of ridicule. You know, now they don't really care. It's almost cool to have an experience now. And I even have to say, among certain experiencers, if they haven't had an experience in a while, they begin to desire one. They want a new experience. They go out there, you know, head tilted back, eyes, you know, intent on the sky, seeking a new experience.
I think I feel that way myself. I haven't had an experience in a long time, and I think I'm more ready. I think I was freaked out. I was definitely traumatized, and all this work and interest, I think maybe, I don't know, maybe I'd be able to meet them face to face.
Well, I think it's a pursuit of spiritual truth. Mm-hmm. I think that it shows us our true spirituality and allows us to come from a place of love. I don't ever want to think that, you know, people aren't going to come from a place of also education and personal empowerment, that just if any extraterrestrial race does come and make themselves known, that we won't, you know, bow down and treat them like gods. That, you know, we have evolved from earthlings into earthers, that we've grown up just a bit, and we won't give away our power so easily again.
Well, thank you, Lori, for all your work, for your time. I do appreciate you taking the time here and talking. And I will see you at Contact in the Desert, right?
You bet. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. We'll hook up there. Lori and I will both be Contact in the Desert. That is June 3rd to the 6th, 2016. Go to contactinthedesert.com and register. And it's going to be thousands of like-minded people. I think this will be historic.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful. And also, if you don't mind, Alan, I wouldn't mind announcing another one. July 29th through the 31st, Laura Eisenhower, myself, and Holly Cook are doing a spiritual retreat for women, helping them to come into their divine feminine power and be a little bit more balanced as the matriarch comes into the power on the planet. So if anybody can want some information on that, there's a Facebook page called Embracing Your Divine Feminine Energy, and it's at the Shooting Star Sanctuary in Mariposa on 70 acres of God's beautiful country.
Wow. And is there a website for that, or just a Facebook?
Right now, there's just a Facebook page, and yeah, so there's definitely lots of events coming up over the next several months. I have several other conferences that I'm attending after Contact in the Desert as well, and I'm looking forward to all of them.
Are you going to the Experiences Conference in Maine?
No, I'm not doing that one. In August, I'm doing the Awareness Expo at the Crown Plaza Hotel in Sacramento. That's August 13th and 14th. And in September, I'll be at the Paradigm Shift Conference in Berkeley, California. And that's September 17th and 18th.
Well, that sounds exciting. So how can people get in touch with you then?
You can check me out through my website at trueyouhypnotherapy.com or follow me on Twitter at Lori's True You or also on Facebook.
True You, yes. Thanks, and maybe we could do a little experiences group at the conference this year.
Oh, I think that's a wonderful idea. And when we get there and have our MC meeting, definitely figure it out and set up an experiencers group or beforehand, I guess.
Are you going to be one of the official MCs too?
I am officially the MC again this year, and next year I'll be speaking.
Great. Thank you. I've been talking to Lori McDonald in Sacramento. And you still take on clients if people are interested in their own.
Absolutely. They can call me at 916-266-3964.
Right. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and you can reach me at my website, newrealities.com. Thank you, Lori. I'll see you soon in like a week, 2 weeks.
Couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to it, Alan. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for taking the time, and let's talk. All right. Good night.
Good night.